Wednesday Beis Teves, we're starting a new Sidra, the Ladies Wednesday Shir, Shari Yichud HaMaisa. This is Shir 1, Wednesday Beis Teves. Okay, so we'll start from the beginning again of Shari Yichud HaMaisa, HaShar HaChamishi, the fifth Shar. Chavos Halvavos, very, very structured sefer, starts off with Shar HaYichud, telling us that it has to start with absorbing and realizing and being aware of and internalizing the existence of Hashem and that Hashem Echad. Shar Beis is Shar HaBechina, where you develop the idea that Hashem is Meitiv and Hashem loves us and wants what's best for us. That's really why he created the whole world, the whole Bria, the world. We say the world, we think of Earth maybe. Hashem created existence. So you could think about that sentence for a while, till it gives you a headache, then stop. But he did. He created existence. He certainly created existence that's chutz mimenu. We talked about that Shabbos. And you're full of gratitude to Hashem when you realize what a complex bria it is. Chavos Halvavos says, as we learn Sunday nights, that Shar HaBechina accomplishes two things. It makes you aware of Hashem's reality in an not philosophical way. You don't have to be a Shar Yichud is very philosophical and uses the philosophy of the period in which the Chavos Halvavos was written, which is the beginning of the 11th century. As we call it. So she says there's a much simpler way, really, a shortcut, and that is to examine anything in the Bria and to see complexity, design, plan, and purpose, and how it all works together. And you become suffused with gratitude that all of this, if you have a little picture of the Bria, you realize what a speck of dust Earth is and how a person is like nothing in that speck of dust. A person should be nothing. And yet, we are the only known inhabitable planet, and a person, we got the Torah, and the Beis and we have a Beis HaMikdash, and a Mishkan, and, you know, and everything's here. And this is where the action is, and you know, they've interviewed astronauts that are just overwhelmed by the Bria, and then they see Earth. It's nothing. You go to a planetarium, Earth is nothing, and a person on Earth should be nothing. So then Avodas Elokim, when you're suffused with that gratitude that you exist and that Hashem made the Bria focused on you, on us, on Klal Yisrael, and then you, Avodas Elokim teaches you how to respond. Then Shar HaBitachon is number four, because Shar HaBitachon, Chavos Halvavos says, that's next, because if you want to do anything in life, you have to be chilled out, and you can't be stressed or anxious or worried. That's why he puts it. That's not the Midah, but he says that's why he put it next, because you need to develop your Bitachon if you're going to get anywhere in Avodas Hashem, because you have to stay calm. So he says, in the beginning, the first two lines of Shar HaBitachon, he says, this is why it's next. He explains the structure and the order throughout the whole Sefer. And now we finish Shar HaBitachon, he's going to start Shar Yichud HaMaisa, which is, just being single-minded, focusing. Yichud HaMaisa means you're focusing your actions with one intention and one motive. There's an overriding motive that should govern all of our actions. Yichud HaMaisa, where, as opposed to Shar HaYichud, that's the first Shar, where he talks about Hashem's singularity. This is Yichud HaMaisa, the singularity of your actions, that everything should be, ideally, we learned in Shar HaBitachon already, we know from Shar HaBitachon, that Chavos Halvavos talks about ideals, what to shoot for, what to aim for. If you, And it could be a lifetime of work, and it could be many, many years of work, and sometimes you'll experience it, I don't know, 30 seconds a week, you'll be able to do it. And that's good. If you reach that final level of bitachon that we talked about last week and the week before a little, and you say, oh, I can do that 30 seconds a week, that's unbelievable. That's great. So, and also it gives us what to strive for, and we know where we're headed. We know what a goal is. So, Yichud HaMaisa is also very, very... it's sort of like bitachon, in the sense that half of you are going to think, oh, that's so easy. I can do that with my eyes closed and one hand tied behind my back. I can have bitachon in my sleep, which is probably the only place you'll have full bitachon. And then you learn about it and you go, oh man, this is for malachim. This is written for angels. This is not for people. And the same thing, Shari Yichud, you do something because it's Hashem's will. Yeah, yeah, of course. Of course I do that. Otherwise I'd be playing tennis now. I don't know. Or as we learn it, you go, oh, this is for malachim. This is not for normal people who are living normal lives. And if there's one thing the Chabad Halavos insists on as you go through the Sefer from the very beginning, the Hakdama, till the very end, as he's talking to people who lead what we'll call normal lives, meaning they're out in the world and they go to work and they earn money and they have to earn a parnasa, and they, you know, we're not talking about malachim or neviim or really kollel people. He's really not that's not what the Sefer is addressing. He's not addressing that. You just see that throughout the Sefer when he talks about what to do with your day and how you should focus when you're working. He talks about someone working. So, okay. So, Omar HaMechaber, so why did he put... just like I said many times, in Shara Bitachon, it's a workshop. It's really a workbook. A handbook for how to develop Bitachon. It's the same thing here. These are techniques. He's going to teach us techniques how to develop Yichud HaMaisa. How to stay focused on Hashem. Obviously, just speak it out. The Yichud HaMaisa is that I'm doing it because it's Hashem's will. I'm not doing it to get ahead in the world. I'm not doing it to land that job. I'm not doing it to land that shidduch. I'm not doing it so people should give me kavod. I'm not doing it so that people should hold of me. I'm not doing... And even if your intentions are good, not nefarious, you know, I'm doing it so people should hold of me so that I should get the job. Or I'm doing it so that people should hold of me so that I should get the shidduch. Or I'm doing it so people should hold of me so that I should have friends. I don't want to be the black sheep of the shul. You leave that to the rabbi. You have no eyes for anything at its ideal, at its final destination, at its final step. It's just you and Hashem in the world. And you're doing it because it's Hashem's will. And you want to please Him. And really, you're not even at the ultimate ideal. You're not even thinking about Olam Haba. Right? You're past that. Right? We left that in stage... like in the Shara Avodas Elokim, we left that back in its 10 steps. We left that back in number 7, 6, 7 or 8. It's like Olam Haba. And then who cares about Olam Haba? And really, you say, well, who cares about Olam Haba? What am I doing here? So the answer is that Olam Haba, don't worry about it. Olam Haba is just a reflection of your soul. And when you take your body off, because it's buried in the ground, then you're left with your neshama. And then Olam Haba is just the neshama taking its place where, however much, to whatever degree, you've purified your neshama. So that's Olam Haba. That's what it is. Your neshama is aloka, chelik aloka mimal. It comes down to this world and it has to contend and deal with all the, please forgive the expression, all the garbage of the guf and of Olam Hazeh. And it gets sullied and it fights. And this is what we learned in Shara Avodas Elokim, where he taught us the battle tactics of Avodas Elokim, which is not to let your neshama get sullied. So that's all Olam Haba is. But so it's going to be there. it has to be there because it's just the home of the neshama after death. That's its home. That's where it belongs. It just goes into the slot. But again, so if you know that, it'll be a lot easier not to do it for the sake of Olam Haba, because I just promised you that your Olam Haba will be there. But theoretically, and you have such stories about tzaddikim and stories that you read in storybooks where they said, I don't care about my Olam Haba. Like, even if I cease to exist when I die, and even if, like, I'm selling my Olam Haba or I'm giving it up to you, here, these storybooks, but I want to do Ratzon Hashem. That is a Madrega. So there is such a thing. It's just, you know, it's not for me to say whether it can happen or it can't happen, but it I don't know. I'm not allowed to tell. Okay. Amar HaMechaber. Because I just finished teaching you about bitachon, ra'inu lismoch lo biur, an explanation of ofane chiyuv, of the ways and your obligations that you will focus hayos kol ma'aseh avoda miyuchodim le'lokim levado. What? So what did he just say? What's the logic? He says, I just finished teaching you about bitachon, so now I have to teach you how to focus your actions to do it lishma. It's really shorthand for yichud ha'maisa, is what we call lishma. And now we should know that lishma means I'm only doing it for the sake of fulfilling Hashem's will. Now, why should I fulfill Hashem's will? You have to go back to Shar Avodas Elokim for that. That in the Chovas Halvodas' world, you want to fulfill Hashem's will, not because he's going to beat you up if you don't, and not because he's the king and he said so and you better do it. Not even that, which is a pretty high madrega. You're just so thankful. It's like a person that just saved your child's life, just ran into the street and saved your child's life, and then asks you for a glass of water. So you can't run fast enough to get him the glass of water, right? I think we've all at one time in our lives probably been in a position where we're just so thankful to someone for doing something. If something silly like getting us a job or getting us a job interview. And you're so thankful that you don't know what to do. How do you repay someone that did that for you? How do you repay me? You offer money and they laugh. They say, money. And you just, so tell me what to do. Tell me what I can do. How do I say thank you? Because that's a human need, as the Chodesh Lvov explains at Lent in the beginning of Shara Avodas Elokim, that Hashem wired people. Because ultimately Hashem made people. He could have made us any way he wanted to. But he wired us. In other words, it is definitely a psychological need. But I just always like to say, remember that Hashem wired us this way. And it makes sense because he wants us to serve Hashem out of gratitude. This is the Chodesh Lvov's system. So, of course, he would wire a person that you are compelled to express your gratitude in a certain way, and you're compelled to do that, and that's going to compel us to do Hashem's will. Listen, if you weren't by the Sunday night classes, I can't help you, you know. So what does bitachon have to do with yichud ha'maaseh? And like, that's his first sentence. Of course, yichud ha'maaseh follows bitachon, because now that I told you about bitachon, I'm going to tell you about yichud ha'maaseh, of course. And, you know, if you read the translation, that's sort of a non sequitur. Mm. Like, well, I don't know, like, okay, if you say so, but like, what does one thing have to do with the other? And the answer is that the greatest impediment, what is the opposite of yichud ha'maaseh? That we have ulterior motives for doing things. Right? The biggest impediment to yichud ha'maaseh is because I got to get that job. I got to get ahead in the world. I can't be the underdog. How is this going to happen? How am I going to land a job if I don't? So I look for them so that they should hire me, or so that I could network, or so that I should get a raise, or I'm going to keep, and then you You develop ulterior motives, but if you develop your bitachon, it becomes almost a no-brainer. Like, you shouldn't be having any ulterior motives. You're going to get what you're going to get. And nothing's going to help you get whatever you weren't supposed to get. And if you developed in your bitachon, everything's there already, and you're just doing the hishtadlus you need to do, because that's also Hashem's will, to do hishtadlus, as we talked about at length in Shara Bitachon. But that's what he says. He says, now you're ready for Yichud HaMaisa. Without bitachon, forget it. Because you're going to be beset with ulterior motives. Because most people, I'm afraid to say, most people I know, it's very, Yichud HaMaisa is hard. If you think about your day and why you do things, it's very hard to have that purity of Yichud HaMaisa. So he says, if you don't have bitachon, forget it. Because if you don't have bitachon, then your actions are bringing you whatever goal you have in life. So, but it's not. So when you have bitachon, you've cleared the area. You've vacuumed up. It's impossible, he says, without bitachon. So that's what he's saying. You understand? Now that you have bitachon, you can start developing Yichud HaMaisa, because you cleared away all your negiyas. You've cleared away. But if I don't take into account what that person's going to think of me, then when it comes time for X, Y, Z, they're going to say a bad word about me. And how can I do this? They'll look at me funny, and they'll think that I'm a weird, and then that'll ruin my friendship, and then my kid won't get into the school, and then my kid won't do a good... Oh, you're laughing. This... you know better than I do how this is part of our lives, mamash. So first, get bitachon and clear away this stuff. So, because we finally finished our bitachon, Ra'inu lismochlo biur, the explanation of ofane chiyuv, the ways of our obligation, that heyos komase hoavoda miyuchodim lelokim levado. Now, why is that important? Why is that chashuv? So he says a very interesting phrase. He says very interestingly, Ba'avur Masheyesh Badover Zeh, because developing Yichud HaMaisim has Mizakus, the purity. Mizakus HaMitzponim, you're developing a purity of your motives. Ubar HaLevavos, and a cleansing, a simplicity, of Bar HaLevavos Min HaIrbuv, from confusion. Hamaf said Olsom, which works against that which would be Mafsid, Zakus Hamitzponim Ubar Halavavos. He's saying a tremendous thing here. He's talking about the purity of your insides and keeping away from confusion. If you think of the way people act all too often, they want to please other people. They want people to think of them well. And that really, if you had to choose, like, if a person's not going to have Yichud HaMaisa, which of course means to Hashem, so what will they do? Most of our actions is, I would submit to you, if we don't develop Yichud HaMaisa, most of our actions are to please or to impress other people, to, you know, that other, what other people should think of me, or maybe, you know, for kavod or for money or for whatever life holds. I want people to think highly of me. I want people to hold of me, right? Right? It's like the most normal thing in the world. If the shul doesn't hold of me, they'll fire me. Bez Hashem. you know, I certainly want, you know, how long should I stay in Shemona Esrei? You know, nobody wants a rabbi to daven Shemona Esrei quickly. And how would it look if I finished Shemona Esrei before three quarters of my congregants? And I'll talk myself into it that it's totally kosher, that it's good, because this way they'll listen to me when I pass in a shayla, and otherwise they won't listen to me. That didn't work, by the way. And you can rationalize anything, but you know, there's a lot of saying he's really saying something deep, something so emotionally and psychologically true. He says, if you are a people pleaser and you live your life to make what people, you're going to be scattered all over the place. Because you have a lot of friends, and you got to make this friend think you're a shtickle cool, and you got to make this friend think you're a shtickle frum, and you have to make this circle of friends think that you're with it, and that you're not a frumak, and that you're not weird, and right, and all of a sudden you become a chameleon, right? And depending on who you're with that day, or what you're doing, or what situation you're in, you're gonna. And then you don't have identity, you don't have a sense of self. You don't know who you are. That's what he's saying. You don't know who you are because if you don't develop this purity of your kishkes, mitzponim is your conscience, your insides, your thoughts, your lathe. If you don't develop a purity and a singularity. That's irbuv more, is that you're scattered all over the place. And when I'm with this person, I'm going to be labedic. And when I'm with this person, I'm going to be calm. And now, there's nothing wrong with that, intrinsically, as long as there's a core, C-O-R-E. If there's a core that this is what Hashem wants me to do, then I'm focused. Then I'm singular. Then I'm not all over the place. I'm doing, you know, on Tisha B'Av I'm sad, and I'm Purim I'm happy. And if I'm with someone that needs cheering up, I'll become a shtickle clown. And if I'm with someone that, you know, needs someone to sympathize and empathize with the hard time that they're having, so I'm not going to be a clown, I'm going to be some. That's okay, you see, because this is what Hashem wants me to do. So your soul is not scattered. You know who you are. Otherwise, you have no identity, you have no integrity. You end up losing your self-respect. And if you know people like that who are not doing it with Yichud HaMaisa focus, they end up being depressed. Because they ultimately, after 10, 20 years go by, they say, who am I? They look in the mirror and they say, but who am I? What do I stand for? What do I represent? What are my values? I have spent the last 20 years adopting the values of whatever group I'm with because I want them to like me and I want to be part of the crowd. That's not good because that's not good for the soul. It's not good for the psyche. So that's what he says. Yichud HaMais is beautiful. It makes for a health, an emotionally healthy person. That's what I believe he's saying in this line. And there's nothing wrong with that. Just like you said, that I'm teaching you bitachon, so that you should be stress-free and worry-free and anxiety-free, and therefore you'll be freed to serve Hashem, and you'll be the best possible person that you could be, because you won't be weighted down with worry and stress and anxiety and nervousness. He's saying here, now I'm going to give you something, which if you have bitachon will be possible, that will help you determine your identity. An identity of a Jew is someone that wants to fulfill the will of Hashem. That's what we were put in this world. And we want to be true to our neshamas. And whatever I do, if I have to pick a school, or I have to pick a job, or I have to decide if I'm going to go work or I'm going to stay home, and I have to decide what shul to belong to, and I have to decide who my friends will be and who my kids' friends will be. What does Hashem want from me? What does Hashem want? What will be the fulfillment of Ratzon Hashem? Then you're focused, you create an identity, and you're not, as I said, scattered all over the place. Okay. Another point I he might mean, I'll just speak it out. Let's assume for a moment I'm not making a joke now. Let's assume everybody in the room is from, right? So we know a lot of restrictions on Frumkite. You know, we want to have maybe a good time, better than we have now, and so, but we don't. Like we toe the line. If we do it with ulterior motives, you know, we say in Uvolat Zion, there's a line, Laman lo nigalo rik, velo ne leid la behala. We shouldn't, like, we give up so much, and we sacrifice, and we do, and we work, and you want to get maximum benefit out of what you do, right? You don't want to spin your wheels. It's one thing if you don't put in the effort, so, you know, you don't put in effort, so you don't have anything to show for it. But it's so sad, a person can, that's what we daven to Hashem. Leman lo nigalo rik, we shouldn't struggle and work and work hard. Niga means you get tired, right? Lo rik, for nothing. Now, for nothing doesn't have to be for nothing. It could mean we're not maximizing the benefit of what we do. You see, again, I'll give you the experience of a man. I get up every morning, and I get up, and I don't want to get up. I want to sleep more. But I'm going to miss Minyan, and then I'm going to, you know, and then the whole day is wrong, and then I'll miss my morning, say the Chavrusa, and I'll come late, or I'll come late to work, and or I'll daven without it. So I get up, you know, and I'm tired, and I get up, and for decades I get up. Then you come to shul, and you daven without kavana, which, horror of horrors, happens. That's so sad, right? That's such a pity. You got up already. You got out of bed. You got dressed. You went to shul. It's cold outside. You're tired. You want to sleep more. You drag yourself to shul, and then you get there, and you go, That's just sad, really. If you think about it, you could cry. Then the person comes to Shemayim, and, you know, Saka to me, Lord. He's ready to, you know. And Hashem says, okay, let's see, you daven 36 times. 36 times? I'm 82 years old. Yeah. Let you want to see the movie? You want to see the video of your life? Right? It's so sad. That's Laman Loni Galo Rig. So that's what the we want to maximize. It's a hackneyed expression. It's a pity that it's true. We want to maximize our relationship with Hashem. If we do things with ulterior motives, you're serving two masters, and you're doing it already. You're doing what's right. You're walking the walk. You're talking the talk, but you're ending up you're dating two people at once. You're dating two people. And when you date two, I don't know if everyone here has ever done that. Sometimes it's allowed. You got to ask the rabbi first. If you think of the goyim, right, who are like too heavy, they're already like heavy into the relationships, and it could be two people, then you really don't have a relationship with either one, right? Because you're always flitting back and forth to the other one. In your mind, you're comparing. So it's such a pity if you... That's part of Zakus HaMetzponis, the purity of what's going on inside of you. You want to develop a relationship with Hashem. You want to get closer to Hashem. And you're doing it, Ribono Shel Olam. And you're ruining the... You're not maximizing what you're doing if you're doing it for ulterior motives. It's such a pity. It's a pity. It's like, you know, you get to shul and you don't want out kavana. You turned cartwheels and you turned over the world to get a babysitter so you can go to shul, and then you get there and you mumble the words and your mind's in 100 other places and you're thinking about all sorts of things. That's such a pity. That's what we say. So I think he means that also in Zakus HaMitzponim. You want to purify your thoughts so that your actions will develop the maximum of a relationship with Hashem. And that's if I'm doing it to please Hashem. I'm developing a relationship with Him. But I'm doing it to please my neighbor, or that people should hold of me, then I'm worshiping myself. I'm doing things for myself, which leads me to another point I want to make, which is that as important as Shaar Yichud HaMaisa is, as it, in what it says, Perek Chamishi, which I have to decide yet what to do with it. Perek Chamishi is very, very long, and Perek Chamishi is as close to a Musa Sefer as the Chayvus Halvavus gets. You know, I don't think it's really a Musa Sefer at all. But he goes through, in Perek Chamishi of Shaar Yichud HaMaisa, he talks about the Yetzer Hara, and he talks about Chet, and he talks about motivation for Chet. And it runs the gamut from the most philosophical rationalization of doing something that's not the will of Hashem, down to the most base, disgusting gashmius reason that you might have for doing something. And that's in Perek Hay. And he's like so far out of Yichud HaMaisa there. Did we make a wrong turn somewhere? How'd he get there? What's Perek Chamishi doing? The answer is, what do you think leads to Chet? What leads to Chet is doing mitzvahs not for the purpose of doing the will of Hashem. Our mitzvahs, and I guess I have to explain what I'm about to say. Our mitzvahs could essentially be sort of like averus if we do it for ourselves. Now, let me quickly explain. Obviously, we know Chazal say, you know, Yasa Kodem B'Torah V'Mitzvah Shelo Lishma Shemitoch Shelo Lishma Bo Lishma. Chazal understand already that a lot of what we do, in fact, the Bali Musar point out, L'Ola means, this is the latter. I mean, you're going to have to first do it Shelo Lishma. When he's a child, you offer him a candy, you offer him a trip, you offer him a bicycle. But adults have their trips and their bicycles and their toys. And, you know, till we mature, and it's a long haul till we mature and we're ready to do things for Hashem's sake. And Chazal understood that. So, again, we're learning now an ideal. There is Shelo Lishma, certainly. And a corollary of that is that Chas V'Sholom, you say, okay, I'm going to take the mezuzah off my door. Because Rabbi Milinowitz said that having the mezuzah on your door so that people should think of me as a nice frum Jew, that's an avera. I don't want to do an avera. Let me get rid of that mezuzah. Obviously, there's a kav adom. I mean, I think it's obvious, and if it's not, I will speak it out. There's certainly a red line that you're not allowed to cross despite your motivations, right? That's why Hashem gave the Torah. That's what the Chavis HaLovas himself explains in Shaar Avodas HaLokim, that the purpose for all these rituals is, that's not really where the action is in terms of any type of ideal. But Hashem, we're people, and the Yetzer Hara is there, and he gives it, because if it wouldn't be for the rigidity of the Torah and mitzvahs, of mitzvahs, the rigidity, I mean, come Pesach, do this, Shabbos. If it wouldn't be for that rigidity, it seems like Hashem doesn't care about your getting into rhapsody about how Hashem created the world, and oh, I love you, Hashem, and look at that flower, and then you stop and you pick it, and you're, okay, come on, we're going to give you skila now, and you get kares, have a nice day. You know, so Hashem created these bottom lines at the very least. It's really much deeper than that. I'm treating mitzvahs now on a very superficial level, which is the level the Chavis HaLavavus deals with it. You learn others for him, like Tanya or Kuzari, it's really much deeper. And the Chavis HaLavavus don't necessarily have to argue with that, but he is constructing his sefer, and in his sefer, the mitzvah is just to keep you honest, because all the people in the history of the world who have tried to develop a relationship with Hashem free of ritual, free of the actions that Hashem said, this is the way you develop through this, these are the channels, have all failed, because they all fall prey to their guf, they all fall prey to their taivus, they all fall prey to kidding themselves, and maybe like for a week they're flying high and they're meditating and they feel so spiritual and so holy and so whatever, and you look at them a few weeks later and this is history has proven. Everybody who has tried to develop relationships with Hashem without the mitzvahs have faded into oblivion. Nothing left of them. So, of course, if you're not holding anywhere and you're just keeping the mitzvahs because that seems, you know, that was born and that's where I'm living and what am I going to do? Like, you know, this is where I'm, you know, where. You have to. Certainly you have to. And the Chavis HaLobos is talking beyond that. He's past the Kav Adom, right? That's sea level. That's the red line, the black line, call it. Right? They have, when the red line didn't work, they drew a black line. That's all. Very simple. You just drew another line. That's all. But that's the black line, is mitzvahs. The rituals. And you can't decide that because you don't really mean it, so you're not going to do it. Can't do that. The Chagalovus is talking to a person that's keeping the mitzvahs. We're past Sharavodus Elokim. Sharavodus Elokim is where he explained at length the absolute essentiality of keeping the mitzvahs, while in the same breath almost he explains that it's only a stepping stone to developing a relationship with Hashem, and that's like, it's just a stepping stone. Like he says both. He keeps talking both halves of the sentence. It's a stepping stone, but an absolutely essential stepping stone, and whoever in history has tried to skip that stepping stone has failed miserably. So here also, he's already talking to a person that's keeping mitzvahs, and he's saying, what a pity. What a pity if you don't go beyond the ritual. If you don't go beyond the ritual. Now again, Chazal are saying, listen, we know, right? You're not going to offer the kid candy so that he or she should be a good girl or boy, and then all of a sudden the next day be flying high with Hashem. It's a process. We're going to learn how to do it. Tariach and Maisa are the techniques of what to think about and how to hold oneself in check and how to deal with problems that come up. So these are the techniques of developing Yichud HaMaisa. You have to develop it. It's not something that's going to come like the next day. So Chazal, in recognition of that, really say, La'olam, and what is their point? So the Bali Musa say, when they say, La'olam yasagod the Torah v'mitzvah shelo lishma, shemitoch shelo lishma, bo lishma, the Bali Musa say that, what's Chazal's point in saying that? Is that it's going to have to go that way. No one is that great a soul that they could start off at the top of the heap and start off at Yichud HaMaisa. You have to make sure that the rituals are part of your life. Nobody says that every Friday you should sit and decide whether you're going to keep Shabbos or not. Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom says not like that. But now he wants to, so in Sharavodus Elokim he said, don't just keep Shabbos, that's a pity. Keep Shabbos because, think about, think about, that's in the service of Dibros and Boaz Chanan. Think about having Bitochon, that's in Parshas B'Shalach with the Mon. Yeah, don't just, like, Shabbos is not just the cholt and the rest, and what am I doing with the kids? Maybe I should enroll them as Zubermen where they have cheder on Shabbos, I don't know. But now he's talking, don't do it ultimately because, like, yeah, what else am I going to do? I can't very well drive my car. Shabbos, you know, so if I have to walk a mile and a half and it's in the Tchum, or 2 miles or 3 miles and it's within the Tchum Shabbos, so I'll do it, like, I'm not happy about it. But so why are you doing it? Why? What do you mean, why? Because I live here. No, that's not a good reason. I mean, it'll do, but it's a pity that should be the reason. It's because I want to please Hashem, and I want Hashem to be pleased with me. And That's it. That's my reason. That's my motive. That's what I want to gain. That's what I want to get out of life. So, as we learn, Shariyichan HaMaisa, and he really speaks harshly of someone. As I say, you know, if you do things with ulterior motives, you're serving two masters. You're dating two people at one time. You're serving Hashem. At one point, he calls it shituf, which is a very harsh word, reminiscent of Avodah Zarah, because you're serving Hashem and you're self-serving also. So let's not forget, and I'll probably end up repeating myself at least 8 times a shiur, I'll say this. It's not as if you have a choice. Think of the flip side of what I'm telling you now. You have to walk the walk and talk the talk anyway, because you're not going to, because people are looking at you, and that's where you live, and that's who you are. And, you know, nobody says that the highest madrega is to decide every Friday if you're going to keep Shabbos or not. It is not the highest madrega. It is asking for trouble. But we're beyond that. We're going to learn how to make it more meaningful, how to make it into developing a relationship with Hashem, that you should try to lose the fear of what people will say about you, or how you're standing in the community, or you're standing to your neighbors, or getting fired, or, you know, you should try to lose that and, you know, be single-minded. That's Yichud HaMaisa, single-minded in your devotion to Hashem. Okay, we'll stop here. Any good question? Yeah.
And you get to Shemaim, and Hashem says you've done 36 months.
You did
not. It says tshuva is not for Hashem, it's for ourselves. Hashem doesn't need our tefillah. He doesn't need to hear the
tefillah. I'm talking about tefillah as per our obligation to daven. Whether it's midiyoraisa, we're obligated to daven. A certain minimum. A woman, let's say, is much less obligated than a man. You haven't fulfilled your obligation.
It's totally not. Well, you
want to get very, very technical. If you didn't have kavona in the first bracha of Shmona Esrei, then it's totally not fulfilled.
That was the first three, but okay, yeah.
No, it's the first one.
That's not how we
I'm afraid it is.
It is.
There are some shittas in halacha that recognize the frailty of mankind and say, don't bother going back. But not pshat, don't bother going back, it's okay, you davened. It's, don't bother going back, all that's going to happen is that you're going to not daven again. that's like, but even that is not poshut, and a lot of people, a lot of shittas say, you should try the first bracha Shmona Esrei. Everybody should learn what it means, because that's, you know, again, you know, when I get to Shemayim and they say, you know, you finally put the kids to sleep, you finally got them out the door, you finally took a sitter in your hand, and then you're thinking about the kugel or the cake or whatever, and you didn't have kavana, and nebuch, leman lo niga lorik, v'lo nilei labeala. Okay. Now I have to go daven.